Genesis chapter 8 tonight. Get your Bibles prepared for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the 8th chapter in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 8. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. He sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. He sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you'll add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for the wonderful Bible. I pray that you use it to change us once again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We're working our way through the first book of the Bible, the book of the beginnings. It all started with God. Amen. God didn't start with it all. It all started with God. The Bible presupposes the existence of God. In the beginning, God. God did the creating. He was not created. Aren't you glad you are related to the creator of the universe? In the beginning, God. And after 6 days, he created the world. He rested on the seventh. On the last day of creation, he had gone from making things to making people. He took from the dust of the ground, formed man, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And after he had created things, he said it was good. And after he created male and female, he said it was very good. Amen. And God put them on this earth to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and put them in a garden and watered the garden and gave them a beautiful place to live. And gave them commands. All these trees you can eat off of, but the one in the middle, you better not eat off of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know the story. Man sinned. He disobeyed God. The curse of sin passed upon all men. And yet, when man couldn't do anything about his sin, even in Genesis, God made a way. Amen. God made a way for their sins to be forgiven. And you know the story. On from there, we find Cain kills Abel. And after Abel, God raises up a godly seed by the way of Seth. And Seth gives the world a second chance. And then years after Seth's godly line, man plunges into wickedness. Wickedness on every hand. Exceeding wickedness. Everybody was doing the wrong thing. Except for one man. Noah. And the Bible says this about him. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for grace. Somebody decided when everybody was doing wrong, I'm going to do right. By the way, I feel compelled with a bunch of young people in the building tonight. Somebody's got to decide when everybody's doing wrong, you're going to do right. If ever we needed somebody to take a stand in a wicked society, today is the day. For you seniors on the precipice of stepping in to adulthood, listen to me. The world is full of frills and frills and invitations and appealing and appeasing sights, and the devil serves on the silver platter. But take the example of Noah to find out that it's still the best thing in the world to live for God. Of course, he took a stand. And God told him what he was going to do. He was going to destroy the world. And then, after God told him he was going to destroy the world, Noah had to make a decision to listen to God. He said, Noah, build an ark. And we've discussed exactly what God said. Not just build an ark, but build it the size I tell you to build it. And build it the way I tell you to build it. And build it by the design I tell you to build it. By the way, God doesn't just give orders. God tells us how to carry out his orders. And then we get to chapter number 6 after Noah spent all this time. He, his wife, his three sons, their wives, building the ark. God makes this statement, come thou, an invitation. Not just a commission to go somewhere, but an invitation to come somewhere. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the work of God is not just going somewhere for God, but it's coming somewhere with God? Somebody say amen. Come thou on the ark. Yes, you've been building. Yes, you've been laboring. Yes, you've been working. But I'm not just going to send you out in the storm. I'm going to go with you out in the storm. And by the way, many of us are facing some storms in our lives, but I'm glad tonight that we're not facing those storms alone. God said, I'm not only putting you on the ark, I'm inviting you on the ark. And what safer place to be than on the ark with Almighty God? And the rain came down. His invitation was met with instructions, information, initiation, and then infliction. The rain came down. This deluge, supernatural deluge, this feat that only God could pull off, where this rain came up so high that it was above the trees. Everything was destroyed. And yet, while everything below the ark was drowning underneath the water, above the water was an ark that sailed. Listen to me, young people. You serve God, you'll always sail. Amen? You'll always sail. While everybody else will be drowning. And by the way, you'll look back years from now, and there'll be students that graduated with you. And there'll be young people that went to the same school. They heard the same chapel messages. They went on the same senior trip. They served God in the same church. They carried the same Bible. But somewhere along the line, God said build. They didn't want to build. Somewhere along the line, God said take a stand. They didn't want to take a stand. Somewhere along the line, God said go with me. They didn't want to go with God. They wanted to go the way of the world, the way that was popular, the way that was pervasive, the way that everybody else was doing. And all of a sudden, the rain's going to start coming. And the storm's going to start coming. And the floods are going to start rising. And they're going to wish they stood for God. Hear me and hear me now. 10 years from now, you will wish you lived for God. By the way, not just these young people, every adult in this building. 10 years from now, you wish you lived for God. I submit to you, 1 month from now, you wish you lived for God. Listen to me. I don't care what the devil says. It's always the best thing to live for God. And by the way, it may require some sacrifice. It may require some commitment. It may reap on you some persecution. They may laugh at you. I guarantee you they laughed at Noah. And they laughed at Noah's boys. And they laughed at Noah's boys' wives. And they laughed at Noah's wife. I guarantee you they ridiculed him. I guarantee you they criticized him. But I'm going to tell you something. When they got on that boat and everybody else was drowning, they were glad they stood for God. And I want to tell you, as a married man and a family man, I'm glad that I stood for God. You will be too. But you can't board the ark if you don't build it first. This is building time. This is building time. Families, this is building time. This is building time. Church members, this is building time. Amen. Don't knock the building time. See, sometimes the building time seems boring. But you'll be glad you built when it's time to board. Amen. I need more than that to say amen to that. I said you'll be glad when it's time to board that you built. Somebody say amen. All aboard. And the rain comes down. Tonight I want to look in chapter number 8. And now that we're all aboard, I want to entitle this next several weeks, After the Storm. After the Storm. Some of you say, Pastor, It feels like it's never going to stop. I want to tell you something. It will. I said it will. After the storm, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Trouble don't last always. Here we are. Genesis chapter number 8, after the storm. If you're taking notes, let's look at one area tonight at least. What I call the intimate remembrance. Now I'm going to read something that we've read 1,000 times if we've read through the Bible. But this time when we read it, let's listen. Let's read these first four words of Genesis 8 together. Everybody, ready, begin. And God remembered Noah. Let's read them again. And God remembered Noah. That's what I call an exclusive phenomenon. Listen to me. We're not talking about the fact that God didn't forget. Don't you know God can't forget? I said, don't you know God can't forget? So we're not talking about the word remember here is not referring to God not forgetting something. The word remember here means to pay attention to fulfill a promise, and to act on the behalf of somebody else. Now, when the Bible says God remembered Noah, it doesn't mean God forgot, God didn't forget Noah. It simply means God chose to pay attention to Noah, to fulfill a promise to Noah, and to act on the behalf of Noah. And that, my friend, is how God remembers his people. By the way, God remembered Abraham. God remembered Rachel and Hannah. God remembered the Jews after they'd been in captivity. And here God remembered Noah. In other words, he didn't just leave them on the boat indefinitely. He didn't just send them out somewhere into oblivion and make him figure it out himself. God put him on that boat, told him how to build that boat, sent a storm that that boat could sail over, a flood that that boat could pilot over. But ladies and gentlemen, there came a time after that storm where God said, Noah, I remember what I told you. I remember what I said to you. I remember how I led you. And now you're going to see I keep my word. Wow. God remembered Noah. God remembered Rachel. God remembered Hannah. God remembered Abraham. When Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And look at here. God will remember you. I said God will remember you. He will not break his word. He will choose to pay attention. Somebody's going through a storm right now. And you say, Pastor, I feel like I'm all alone. And by the way, when they were going through this storm on this boat for over a year, a year's time on this boat, I want you to notice it's a big deal for God to remember. This exclusive phenomenon, it's not like you remembering me or me remembering you. It's not like somebody remembering your birthday or somebody remembering your anniversary or somebody remembering to bring something that they promised they would bring you. Hey, that's a nice gesture, but I'm talking about God choosing to pay attention to you. Little old us, do you realize we're sinners saved by grace? We deserve to go to hell. Do you realize in us well is no good thing? We mess up every day. We displease God. We disgrace God. But listen to me, when you obey God, in spite of your frailties and your faults, God will choose to pay attention to you. The endearing promise he remembered. The promise was that the flood's going to come, but it ain't going to kill you. I wonder if you're going through something tonight. And maybe God remembers you, but you forgot his promise. Pastor, I'm in a rough situation right now. Can I ask a question? You think God knows that? You think God knows your marriage is under attack? You think God knows you got a child that's straying away? You think God's familiar with your bank account? Some of you say, I'd hate for him to look at that. That's kind of embarrassing. You think God knows what's going on in your house? By the way, you think God knows what's going on in America? Somebody help me preach. You think God knows who's in the White House? You think God knows who's in Congress? You think God knows about troops? You think God knows about your trials? You think God knows about your difficulty? Listen to me. You stay on that boat long enough and locked up in one location, eventually you start feeling like, I'm all alone. By the way, you think when the rains first started coming down, you don't think they were glad they were on that boat? But after 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, I wonder how many times Shem, Ham, Japheth, maybe Mrs. Noah, turned to look at her husband and say, well, I'm glad we not drowned. I'm glad we didn't die. But you think we ever going to get off this boat? Huh? See, when God first delivers, they just sang about that. Boy, when God first delivers, everybody gets a kick out of it. But after you have to camp out in deliverance ark for an extended period of time, you start going, yeah, I'm glad I didn't drown, but that doesn't mean I want a permanent residence on this boat. Listen to me. You don't think Israel was glad when they crossed that Red Sea? Somebody say amen. And then they start wandering in that wilderness, and all of a sudden they start saying, you know, I wish we back in Egypt. Boy, we could sure eat good back in Egypt. You know why? They were wandering in a place, and it seemed like they'd never get out. Listen. They weren't in Egypt, but they weren't in Canaan. And sometimes, when you're in between Egypt and Canaan, you get a little restless. I just venture to think, I'm preaching to some people that are glad they're not in Egypt, but sure hoping that they'll get to Canaan soon. Here's my challenge. I'm not prophetic, so I can't tell you when you get to Canaan. But I'm practical enough to tell you that in between Egypt and Canaan, remember God's promise. I said, remember God's promise. What promise? Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? Before you ever got on that boat, didn't he tell you where that boat was going? He didn't tell you the time. He didn't tell you the age. He didn't tell you what was going on. But what he said was, I'm going to make sure you make it. And listen to me, I don't care what you're facing in your life. God's going to make sure you make it. Somebody say amen. The promise. Look down, if you would, again at verse number 8. God remembered Noah and every living thing. The endearing promise, the extended promise, the exceptional patience, but the extensive preservation. And every living thing. And all the cattle that was with him in the ark. Listen. You know, in the world, we're so flawed and so imperfect. We applaud not perfection, but we applaud things that aren't that bad. Here's how we go. Well, we didn't lose that many, so it's better than losing a lot. I'm afraid that some Christians live that way. Things ain't great, but it ain't that bad. Well, I ain't living for God like I should, but I'm sure living a whole lot better than some of them folks are. Well, we didn't win, but we didn't lose by that much. Nobody got saved. No prayers have been answered. Nothing's going on at church, but we still having service. Let me tell you something. When God shuts the door in the ark, he don't lose nobody. Not one man died. One woman died. And don't get over this. For over 1 year, they were on this ark, not just 8 people, but 2 and 2 of animals and all kinds of creatures. And for 1 year, nothing died. By the way, that meant that God had to take care of them. And by the way, you know what Noah and them realized after a year of waiting on God? That when God told us to take this much food, take this much animals, and get on this boat, and to build it by this dimension, I reckon God knew what he was talking about. I'm glad we didn't improvise. I'm glad we didn't get innovative. I'm glad we didn't say, well, I don't feel like loading up this much food. I don't feel like bringing this many animals. We ain't going to be on there that long. You think when God was telling them to bring all that food, Noah might not have looked at his kids. His kids looked at him and thought, this much food? Why we need this much food? Good gracious, alive. Can't God just go ahead and kill them in a day? No, let me tell you something. God said, you bring this much food, this many animals. God knew they were going to be on there for longer than a year. And by the way, could it not be that God's giving you instructions right now, young people, not for today, but a year from now? You better listen to every chapel message. You better pay attention to every Bible verse you read. You better take in every lesson you learn by those godly in front of you. By the way, church member, you're going through something right now and you say, I don't need this. This doesn't make sense. What's the big deal? I'm not in a storm right now. I don't need to read that much. I don't need to pray that much. I don't need to be that faithful to God. Let me tell you something. When it goes longer than you expected, you'll wish you listened to God. God preserved them, but God preserved them because they obeyed him. You know, God don't have no 7-Elevens in his economy. You ever started fixing something and got in the middle of fixing it and realized you're missing some ingredient? You know what you do? You run 7-Eleven. But can I tell you something? If they had gotten on that boat and run out of food, they couldn't have run 7-Eleven. Every step of obedience that had to be rendered to God had to be rendered before they ever left and he closed the door. Now I want to ask you a question. Everything you're planning to do for God, has the thought ever occurred to you that there are some things that if you don't do them now, it'll be too late to do them? Watch this now. I'm going to be a soul winner here after a while. And as soon as we get out of financial crisis, I'm going to get to tithing. Watch this now. I'm going to get involved in a ministry as soon as my work schedule slows. Could I tell you something? You better learn to obey God, not based on your circumstances, but based on God's command. Because the next storm you face might not be a 3-week storm. It might be a 1-year storm. And your survival in the storm is going to be based on your obedience to God before the storm. Somebody say amen. And I can't tell you, Christian school students, how real that becomes when you're not a senior in high school and you're a freshman in college. And instead of mama waking you up 5 times in the morning, you got to get your own lazy self up. And instead of a Christian school teacher with 5 students or 10 students calling your parents and say, Bobby didn't come to class. You got a professor that don't even know your name is Bobby. He just sees a seat that's empty, marks you absent, and flunks you. And then your mom and daddy get them grades. And they go, I'm paying for this. And you go, boy, it sure was a whole lot easier in high school. Or maybe you end up at a college where everything you've been taught is challenged. You walk into a secular college with a science teacher with his glasses on the bottom of his nose. A man, dandruff all over his jacket. And he's so into the books, he can't even see all that white stuff on his jacket. And he looks at you one day and says, now, students, you do know that one day a tadpole climbed out the water, and eventually that tadpole turned into a monkey, and the monkey turned into you. And you're going to look at students beside you, and they're going to go, oh, yeah, wah, 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 wah. And you're going to look at some of your friends, and they look like monkeys and act like monkeys, and therefore they believe they're monkeys. And your faith is going to get rattled. And you're going to go down the road at some church that's a little bit different than your church, and they read from a Bible that doesn't sound like the Bible you read from, and they lower standards that aren't really like the standards you're used to. And by the way, after all, you got your little girlfriend. Or a little boyfriend, get you a job and start missing church, and you're responsible for yourself. The next thing you know, you're in a bunch of stuff that you've never been in before. Listen, the providence of God handcuffed you from Judah and dropped you off in Babylon, and you're in the middle of a world you never prepared for, and now you're trying to learn Jesus real quick. It's too late. They're going to chew you up and spit you out. Amen. You're going to jump in a cab in Babylon and say, take me down to the most fun spot down here. And you're going to get in there and take your little Christian self into the world's environment. And you're going to go, where in the world have I come? And God's going to say, remember when you were in that church before the storm ever came? I told you, build your boat this way. Remember Christian school Bible class? I told you to read your Bible. Remember, young couple, early in your marriage, I told you to get involved, honor God. Now you're in a trial. You're facing a difficulty. The boat's rocking in your marriage, and you don't know what to do. It's too late to get a go-go gadget, Jesus, or a 7-Eleven ingredients. You got to start way back now and obey God, because God said so. And every church member is going to go through a storm. And your preparation for the storm can't happen during. It's got to happen before. How many of us have discovered in the storm how surprisingly unprepared we were? You ever introduced yourself to the fact you weren't as good of a Christian as you thought you were? Man, I thought I was... You ever bragged on your faith so much to yourself that you were surprised when you found out you didn't have it? Well, I'm a good Christian. I love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, all my mind and my strength. And on the heels of that proclamation, a trial comes up and God says, oh, do you? And then it lasts. You ever had predictions on when your storm would end? What do you mean prediction? I mean, you made plans for an outside activity while it was still raining. Because you just knew it wasn't going to be like that by the time you planned that activity. And you had to keep rescheduling it and keep rescheduling it and keep. There's some of you in here that you knew you're going to be married by now. You knew you're going to have a better job by now. You knew you're going to be out of debt by now. And you are tired of postponing it. And God said, oh yeah, the ark's a safe place, but I'm going to test your claustrophobia. And there are Christian people. Do you realize it is possible in the right place to get tired of being right with God? I am left. Elijah said, he wasn't backsliding. He was living for God. Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Got up and got to Nineveh in halftime. Preached. Lived for God. They repented and got right. And this preacher that's been God's catalyst for a major evangelization crusade is now under a juniper tree saying, take my life. You know what? The same ark that had saved him, he was tired of. Be careful. Be careful. The reason why people get tired of the will of God is because they haven't prepared for what lies ahead. Don't live your life just for now. Young lady, you better practice as a teenager for how you're going to be as a wife. Amen. Don't get modest and chaste and virtuous when you got a husband put a ring on your finger. Get modest and chaste and virtuous while you a daughter that got a mom and daddy that say, get modest. Somebody help me preach. Guys, don't wear your pants on your waist once you get older. Wear them now on your waist. Christian, don't get a prayer life when the trial comes. Keep your prayers going while the trial's happening. Prepare before the storm so that you can last during the storm and so that God can remember you after the storm. Who knows? Pastor, I'm in a storm right now. Tell me. Raise your hand. I'm in some kind of a storm. And I'm wondering when it's going to be over. Well, I think that's the wrong wonder. Because in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Why do Christians faint during the storm? Because they did not obey God's instructions before it. And if you're scrunching around, trying to find a prayer life, trying to find a devotion life, trying to find joy, trying to find faith when the storm comes, forget it. If you couldn't find it before it came, how in the world are you going to find it when it shows up? You better learn. Listen to me. Noah did not learn God on the ark. He walked with God before he ever got on the ark. God did not give him faith on the ark. He increased his faith. And you can't increase something that you have none of. I'm looking forward to after the storm in some areas of life. And I'm looking forward to God remembering us. Aren't you glad he will remember? The question is, if you want him to remember you after the storm, don't you think it probably makes sense for you to remember him before the storm? Our Father, help us. Help us, Lord, not to miss what you're doing. God, you will remember us, but not if we're disobedient. I can't stress enough to these young people how what they're doing now is preparing them for the storm. Help them not to miss it. They can ignore, and I hear it all the time, we're up to 70% or more of young people that grow up in churches, graduate, never come back, because they don't think they need the truth now. They'll figure it out later. What they don't realize is by the time they figured it out, something's already drowned. And Christians alike, same philosophy. I pray, God, that you'll continue to help us, continue to work in our lives. Help us to be what you want us to be. And help us not to forget that there's a God that's going to remember us. But he's looking for some people that will remember him. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.